one lies in the blue moon bar. His face was hard and traveled, and as the lines unraveled, I saw a man who could laugh about his scars. He said, I got Shanghai'd in Vegas by a painted woman. I got hogtied by a redhead in Ohio. I got derailed by a dancer down in Dallas. He said, women gonna be the death of me. What a way to go. He said a girl named Nancy once tickled his fancy and backed it up with $100 smile. He laughed about that Madame Rue. She was into voodoo.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A busy first day at the G7 summit in Italy. President Biden and world leaders agreeing to lend Ukraine $50 billion using profits from seized Russian assets to defend itself. The president also delivering remarks at a global infrastructure event, saying investments are critical for developing nations.
I think we stand at an inflection point in history. It occurs every five or six, seven generations. And the decisions I think we make now are going to determine the course of our future for the next five or six decades.
Israel says it will not send a delegation to hold further talks on a ceasefire deal right now. It comes after Hamas demanded guarantees of a full ceasefire. The U.S., Egypt, and Qatar urging Hamas to accept the current proposal. Supreme Court justices, in a unanimous decision, have preserved access to the abortion drug mifepristone, saying doctors who oppose abortion in the case don't have legal standing, that they were harmed. Another case, though, brought by states, is also challenging the drug. This is ABC News. We're learning more about results of a report investigating how the FDA responded leading up to the baby formula crisis of 2022.
According to the report, one complaint sent a year before the recall was inadvertently archived and sat unread in an email inbox for 15 months. And a subsequent complaint from the same whistleblower sent months after the first one was sent sat in the FDA's mailroom unread. The report, recognizing the FDA lacks authority to obtain certain information from manufacturers, but also faulting the agency for inefficiency that hindered the inspection and recall process.
ABC's Ariel Reshef. It's now been 1,000 days since girls in Afghanistan have been banned from attending secondary school. The Taliban imposed that ban after they took over the country in 2021 following the U.S. withdrawal. At least 1 million girls are affected. Afghanistan, the only country with restrictions on female education. Michelle Franz and ABC News.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. A citizen effort for change in Milwaukee public schools begins.
Today we all stand in solidarity saying enough is enough.
A group called the MPS School Board Recall Collaborative announced Wednesday its move to remove four members from the city's school board. The initiative's leader, Dr. Tamika Johnson, says the effort is based on a lack of transparency by the board and the district.
This board and administration work to hide the truth from the public, to push a false narrative about the need for more funding.
Voters in the district approved a $250 million referendum in April. A month later, it was learned that MPS was several months behind on reporting financial data to the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. That's led to DPI delaying millions of dollars in state aid to the district. Two girls from Oshkosh have died after their ATV crashed into a car. The Winnebago County Sheriff's Office says 11-year-old Mesa Friedenhagen and 7-year-old Kennedy Harris died from the Tuesday afternoon crash in the town of Utica. One of the girls died at the scene. The other was hospitalized and later died. The 43-year-old woman from Oshkosh driving the car involved in the crash suffered minor injuries. She and her 13-year-old son, who was her passenger in the car, assisted in first aid efforts for the girls. A Milwaukee restaurant is forced to temporarily shut down after a November incident. The Milwaukee Common Council decided Wednesday to suspend the license of a Qdoba restaurant on the city's east side. Customer Scott Seward tells Fox 6 Milwaukee what happened after he began eating a burrito from the restaurant.
I bit into something hard, and I'm thinking, what is this? I reached in my mouth, and I pulled out a razor blade.
The city's health department says the blade matched one from a bag cutter tool at the restaurant. Seward wasn't hurt. The council ordered the restaurant be closed for 10 days due to the incident. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sun this afternoon with a few shots of showers or storms. Highs today smack the mid-80s, and as the cold front passes, we will see sunshine to end the day and cooler temperatures more comfortable tomorrow. The drier air and low 80s will feel great. Call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Health with the professionals from Merck Animal Health. Healthy animals perform the best in the feed yards, on pasture, and in the dairy barn. And better performance means better returns to your operation.
Live from the glorious Minnesotan dreamscape via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Dr. Aaron DeKoning from Rock Veterinarian Clinic. Then it's Dr. Grant Crawford, Merck nutritionist, and later, Merck Tech Service veterinarian, Dr. Tim Parks. Directly following the news, Greg Henderson from Drovers, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much, and welcome. Welcome to Laverne, Minnesota.
A glorious Minnesotan dreamscape, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Merck Day here at the Rock Vet Clinic in Laverne, Minnesota. Stop on out here. They've got some great deals for you. Going a big thank you to Merck Animal Health and to Rock Vet Clinic for giving us a venue to talk about some of these important issues. We're talking animal health. We're talking making animals happy, because happy animals give us the best returns in the feedlot out on pasture, and we're taking care of them today. So got a lot of ground to cover. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to talk about some pasture maintenance. We're going to talk about we're going to talk a little bit more about some deworming, but this time we're going to talk about how that deworming is going straight to the bottom line and making things work out, whether we're in the pasture or in the feedlot. And preconditioning calves, we've got a lot of ground that we want to cover. If you've got some questions for the professionals that we are talking with today, make sure that you hit me up on Twitter. Just use hashtag AgriTalk in that message. That way I'll be sure to see it. All right. Question. How's the way, buddy?
Yeah, not bad. Last year's Southern Minnesota corn and soybean crops, I'm thinking mostly of the corn crop, was kind of a humdinger, as I recall, if I'm thinking of the right thing. What do you see outside your windshield there, crop wise?
Everything's coming along okay.
Is it
now? I think so. Okay. I think so. Now, if we talk to the locals, uh-huh. I got a they're going to tell us that things aren't nearly as bright and cheery as what they have been made out to be. Okay. So we need to keep that in mind. But just driving down the road, everything really looks pretty good.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's late. It's sure. late. It's probably 2 weeks late on development, but things are moving along pretty quick.
Okay. That sounds terrific.
All right. All right, buddy. Let's get to the news. Okay.
Well, I've got the National Weather Service weather outlook with an enhanced risk of severe thunderstorms over parts of the Middle Mississippi Valley and Western Ohio Valley today. Then a slight risk of severe thunderstorms over parts of the Northern Mid-Atlantic and New England, plus the Central and Southern High Plains on Friday. Pretty much a risk of severe thunderstorms over every place, Chip. A moderate risk of excessive rainfall over parts of the southern tip of Florida. Slight risk over, excessive heat warnings and watches and advisories over Southern California, the Southwest, the Central Plains, the Southern High Plains. It's going to be hot, potentially severe thunderstorms, you know, here and there.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's that time of the year. And when you look at what's happening down in the Southeast right now, down in Florida with those just torrential rains, it's incredible.
Well, El Nino has officially ended as ocean temperatures in the equatorial tropical Pacific Ocean have cooled, according to NOAA. The transition raises concerns about the upcoming development of La Nina this fall, which could intensify the Atlantic hurricane season. And Chip, we also got to be thinking about Colonel Phil. We got to be thinking about Pod Phil in the context of this La Nina. The timing on this will be important.
Oh, it absolutely will be. And I think there's a lot of concern for the Western Corn Belt for the second half of the growing season.
Well, I've got another daily sale to report here. Private exporters reported sales of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations during the 23-24 marketing year. Chip, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ climbed to new records after easing inflation data prompted traders to bolster bets that the Federal Reserve will cut rates this year. Jerome Powell, Fed chair, reiterated the need for inflation to show consistent improvement toward 2% before any rate reductions. Powell said it could take several years before housing inflation normalizes and for high market-based rent increases to work their way through, and that bringing down inflation is the best way to bring down mortgage rates.
Wow. Okay. You know, those that are looking for an interest rate cut yet this year, we've talked about it several times, Davis, but... push out your expectations, push them back and probably into 2025.
Well, Chip, unemployment benefit claims in the United States rose by 13,000 to 242,000 for the week ended June 8. That surpassed market expectations, and it's the highest level since August 2023. Outstanding claims also increased more than expected to 1.8 million. That's the highest in nearly 5 months.
Wow.
Russia's main exchange says it's halting trading in U.S. dollars and the euro after the U.S. unveiled a raft of measures designed to further isolate Moscow and the international financial system over its war in Ukraine. Chip, this I don't like it when the dollar gets involved here. It feels like we're in some pretty dangerous waters on the currency side.
Yeah, it's very true. And the status of the dollar as the default currency around the globe and the currency of trade is going to be challenged.
Yep. Let's put a lid on right there and get over to Greg.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Davis. Let's bring in Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. How you doing, Greg?
Good morning, Chip. I'm very well. Thank you.
Excellent. Big initiatives coming up this fall.
Absolutely. We got two anti-agriculture initiatives that are on the ballot this fall. The first in Denver, animal activists have successfully landed the prohibition of slaughterhouses on the 2024 ballot. This initiative would allow voters in Denver to ban slaughterhouses inside the city limits. That's a major blow to land producers because for the past 40 years, Superior Farms has operated in Denver, processing about 300,000 lambs a year, led by the animal rights group Pro Animal Future. It's an organization whose stated goal is to end, quote, factory farming. Yep. So the economy, Colorado's economy could suffer $860 million loss, according to Colorado State Study. The second alarming ballot initiative is in Sonoma County, California, just north of San Francisco. And I can see the shock on your face right through the radio, Chip. This initiative is known as Measure J. It would ban large poultry and livestock operations, which activists label factory farms.
Yeah.
It's interesting because this area is known for vineyards, dairies, and organic farms. Mm-hmm. And it's led by the group Direct Action Everywhere. If passed, Sonoma County would be the first county in the United States to implement such a ban. Now, the Sonoma County Farm Bureau estimates that measure would impact at least 60 poultry and livestock operations. Yeah. Now, Chip, just to show how alarming these anti-ag groups are becoming, Natalie Fulton, the Pro-Animal Future, that's the group responsible for the Denver initiative, yep, told Iowa Public Radio, quote, "We have other cities in the works, definitely Portland, San Diego, San Francisco, Houston. We want to go national with our efforts, and our main goal is to ban factory farming at state level within 10 years.
Yep. Prop 12 was a foot in the door. Now the next step is to get rid of animal agriculture altogether. Greg, Henson, good stuff. Thanks for keeping us up to speed on it. We'll be back with more AgriTalk in a moment.
Nasalgen vaccines give calves the strong foundation they need. New Nasalgen 3 PMH is the first and only intranasal vaccine that provides protection against both viral and bacterial pneumonia. That means protection against IBR, BRSV, and PI3, plus BRD caused by Pastorella multocida and Mannheimia hemolytica. Only need viral BRD protection? Ask about Nasalgen 3 with the longest-lasting IBR protection on the market. Visit Nasalgen.com to learn more.
Farming is unlike any other job in the world. It takes years of experience to really walk the walk. Same goes for your financial partner, which is why choosing FBN Finance makes so much sense. FBN Finance was created by farmers to help you become even more competitive with flexible terms, rates, and instant approvals up to $2.5 million for qualified applicants. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
That's the sound of your current hype level at the gas pump. But brace yourself for something fuel nominal, because Unleaded 88 is about to take the hype to a whole new level. Unleaded 88 is cheaper, cleaner, and greener than regular unleaded. Plus, it's homegrown, making Unleaded 88 the clear choice at the pump and totally worth the hype. So pump it up with Unleaded 88, brought to you by Iowa Corn.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. A big thank you to Merck Animal Health and the Rocket Vet Clinic here in Laverne, Minnesota, for giving us a great venue to talk about some important issues in animal agriculture. Kicked it off with Greg Henderson there with some of the ballot initiatives that are happening in Colorado, and in California, and like I said at the end of that segment there with Greg, Prop 12, Q3 in Massachusetts. Some of these other issues that have happened on the ballot are just a foot in the door. That's all they've been. And next up is another attack on animal agriculture in general. They're going to do what they can to end it. So we obviously will be keeping track of what is going on there. Okay, joining us right now, Dr. Erin DeKoenig. She is a DVM and the owner of the Rock Veterinarian Clinic here in Luverne, Minnesota. Hey, Doc. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me. I need to add to that. There's two other docs that own with me. There's three of us together. So shout out to Dr. Michelle Engen and Dr. Jason Johnson. All three of us together here. So.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic. So big thank you for opening up your doors for us here at AgriTalk. We appreciate that. Talk about your path to being a big animal vet.
Oh, well, I didn't make it very far. Still local talent. I grew up just south of the border here on the Iowa side on a crop farming and feedlot operation. And I knew that probably wasn't going to be an opportunity for me to come back to the farm, and becoming a large animal veterinarian was my best path to still stay connected to that farm and to stay in an agricultural career. So when I graduated from vet school, I met my husband, and we actually have a farm not too far from here, and we run cow-calf and crop farm. So
good.
I'm very, very connected to agriculture.
Yeah, absolutely. You are. Still very much involved in it. That's for sure. You and I have got I got to mention this. It's Next Gen Week at Farm Journal. So the next generation of farmers coming back to farm on their family farms. You and I have got something in common on that. When we did the evaluation of, is there room to bring another person back to the operation? In my case, there wasn't.
Yes.
And it sounds like in your case, there wasn't. So we found different paths.
Correct.
But we both wanted to stay connected to agriculture. See, look at that.
And my situation is very, very interesting. On my husband's side, we co-farm the cow-calf herd with my in-laws. Mm-hmm. And then we actually farm the dirt work with my mom and dad. So
gotcha. It's
a very, very family-oriented operation.
Yeah, very cool. Commercial cows?
Commercial cows, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Everything headed straight to the feedlot coming off the cows?
We do sell them at a local auction in Pipestone, Minnesota the first week in January.
That's a good auction up there.
It is a hot auction.
It is.
Yes, and it's really fun because it's not just my calves, but it's my clients' calves that I get to work on too. So it's really fun. I get to see everybody's calves sell, and we all get to have a good day because we get to go home with a check.
Yeah, that's very cool. Very cool. Now, part of getting those calves in condition to take them up to the sale barn is making sure that the pasture's in good shape.
Yes.
Talk to me about managing that pasture and making sure that it's providing the animals what they need.
So we're so fortunate this year. We're finally getting some rains that we desperately needed the past couple years. Pasture conditions are finally what they should be around here. The previous years, we were in a drought situation, and we were all kind of guilty of overrunning those pastures, turning them into that golf course situation.
Yeah.
And this year, things are lush and beautiful, and it's encouraging to see. Yeah. As far as management, our biggest thing is, you know, some of these little rain showers have been coming through. You got to get out, check those calves. We've seen some scours coming through on these calves out on pasture, even though, you know, we all get in our head that once we go to pasture, we're all on kind of a little mini vacation, that things just kind of take care of themselves. And that's not always the case, we find. But you got to get out there, check those calves, make sure your grass conditions are what you need them to be. The other thing with some of these wet conditions, we've seen some foot rot cases creeping up in those mama cows. And in those bulls, for that matter. So you got to be making sure that that breeding bull is able to walk the way he needs to do his job.
What do you do when you get out on a pasture and somebody's got an animal that needs to be taken care of and there's just no facility? I mean,
it gets hairy sometimes. Gets a little ranchy, I would say. Yeah. We're pretty fortunate. The majority of our clients have the means to capture things.
Okay.
Which makes it a lot safer for all of us and safer for the animal as well.
Right.
I'm also quite fortunate. We have a very, very good technician base here, veterinary technician. So if need be, I can bring multiple bodies out with me so that we can do what we have to do.
Yeah.
So we're quite fortunate in that respect. We have plenty of awesome help around here.
Yeah, that's good. You don't want it to turn into a roundup, though. You want it to, if you've got an animal to treat, you want everybody to be safe, including Correct. That animal when you get out there. So just a note to the cow-calf guys, if you can, let's get them corralled. Let's get them,
Correct.
Let's get them in at least in an alleyway.
Yes.
So that we can get to them and take care of those animals and give them the care and the need that they need to flourish out there on that pasture. The calves, anything nutritionally that we need to be looking at to do for those calves when they're out on pasture to, you know, just make sure that they're healthy animals.
I am a huge proponent of creep feed.
Okay.
For a couple of reasons. With my own cow herd, we're segregating our cows on pasture by age. So that allows me to supplement creep feed for my younger animals, like my first and second calvers. So that creep feed out there provides those calves some additional nutrients that we're not dragging down off of that lactating cow to keep her in good shape so that she's able to get herself bred back for that calf the following spring. The creep feed also, it just gets the gut health on those calves so much better in terms of making them more efficient. It makes your transition into the feedlot when you wean them in the fall so much easier because those calves know what feed is. Yeah. And that rumen is ready to accept some of the concentrates and forages that we're going to be throwing at them in the feedlot side.
Right.
And honestly, it provides you with some cheap pounds and pounds pay when you're selling that calf.
Well, and I'm not saying that you want to run fat calves through the sale barn.
Precisely.
But if they're on the edge of green when they go through the sale barn, they just look that much better.
Absolutely.
And that creep feeding is going to help them look that much better when they
just puts that bloom to them.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. That is something that we focused on when we were raising cattle. No doubt about it. No doubt. Most everybody does spring calving?
In this area, yes. We have a few families that do the fall calving.
Yeah.
But the majority of our clientele are turning those bulls out the week of the 4th of July.
Yep.
And that's putting us at a mid-April calf. Yep. So my own family, we're actually calving end of January, beginning of February. Yeah. But that's nice for me because then I can have my hard work at home out of the way by the time that my clientele is getting into their hard work season.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. I think on the calendars around here, doesn't it say July 1, turn bulls out, Correct. July 2, fix fence?
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And it honestly, from a bull fertility testing standpoint, the week of the 4th is our busiest season.
Is it?
Just because some of those bulls are a little bit ornery to handle.
Yeah.
And we get those people that, well, I got him loaded up. I'm going to get him checked out. And then he's getting off my yard.
Right.
So we just right. kind of minimize the handling on some of those big boys.
No doubt. No doubt about it. What do you want to do for the cows once they've got that calf by their side? Mm-hmm. What do you want to do when the cow is out on pasture to make sure that she stays healthy and is giving that calf everything it needs?
So, you know, it's never wrong to just go do a nice little pasture tour. You know, grab a four-wheeler, a UTV, and your favorite beverage of choice to make the time pass. And just go for a ride and check things out. Just keep eyes on your cows.
Yeah.
It fascinates me this time of year how fast everybody will start to put condition on from that grass and those calves. They just keep growing, and it's yeah. fun to watch them change.
Yeah. You know, during crop tour, third week of August, I always, one of the observations that I make when I get up into this part of the world is take a look at the pasture, take a look at the cows. And if the cows are fat and happy, the corn is probably pretty doggone good.
That is true.
Is there a risk of cows putting on too much condition at this time of the year?
In this part of the world, we still have some original native pasture that okay. has never been torn up for the purposes of crop farming. And I'm fortunate enough to get to rent one of those pastures north of town here. And I do have cows that I bring home from there that are somewhat overconditioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's, in my opinion, I would rather see a little bit of overconditioned than underconditioned because we can get some really nasty winters here. And so overconditioned helps you survive.
Not only that, but sometimes winter lasts until the middle of April.
It does. Or May. The past winter, not this past one, but the one before, we were still in coveralls in May.
Okay, Aaron, we're going to talk more this afternoon. There's one thing about that pasture roundup that I was remembering.
Yes.
If you put a rope on that cow and the rope is tight, you can turn around and do stuff as long as the rope is tight. It's the loose rope that you want to look out for.
Absolutely.
Loose, heads up. Something's correct. About to go down. Thank you so much for giving us the space. All right. That is Dr. Aaron DeKoenig. She's DVM owner, one of the owners here at the Rock Vet Clinic. We're going to be back at the Rock Vet Clinic with more from Merck Day.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, July milk up 43 to 21.03, August up 41 to 21.48, September up 28 to 21.10, October up 25 at 20.60. Meanwhile, live cattle markets are mixed today. Feeder cattle, though, moving mostly lower. The trade really waiting for some type of cash market to develop. There's also news that China is banning meat exports from the port of Oakland. That could adversely affect shipping as well. June live cattle up 7 cents, now at 183.72. August feeder cattle down $1.22 to 256.35. Hog markets lower as midday pork cutout values are moving mostly lower. That's led to another sell-off in the hog markets. June hogs down 22 cents to 91.80. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving higher as the weather forecasts are driving the market today. There are hints that heat will start to build in the southern and eastern corn belt next week. That's supporting the markets today. New crop corn up 6.5 to 475.25. New crop beans up 10.5 to 1157.75. July soybean meal up 7.10 to 367.30. Chicago wheat, July up 4.75 to 621.75. And September now up 3.5 to 639.5. Minneapolis wheat July up 1 to 669.25. With markets, I'm Brian Winnekins.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
OP
opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Jeff Flory. We are at the Rock Vet Clinic in Laverne, Minnesota. Big thank you to Merck Animal Health. We've got Merck Day happening here at the Rock Vet Clinic, so stop on out here. It's 1295 101st Street in Laverne, Minnesota, just south of the interstate. So come on out here. This guy is following us around. I don't know exactly what's going on, but Dr. Grant Crawford, Merck Tech Service Nutritionist, is with us again. How you doing, Grant?
I'm doing great, Chip. Welcome to Rock County, Minnesota.
Yeah, here we are, huh? Yeah. It looks a little bit different than Tuesday when we were up in Marshall.
A little more gray. We're getting the rain that we've been getting every couple of days, it seems like. So, yeah, a little different today than it was on Tuesday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. On Tuesday, we talked about the importance of making sure that you've got a deworming program in place on those cattle that are out on pasture. One thing that we didn't talk about, and I want to get into it now, is what the different wormers that are available to you and the different choices that you've got. And how do you make the decision?
Yeah, great question, Chip. There's a lot of options, right?
Yeah.
You can walk into any vet clinic and you could have a whole bunch of options, whether it's a pour on, an injectable, a drench product, or a feed product. And, you know, they're all FDA approved products. So that tells us that, you know, for them to be on the market when they were approved, they all worked and they all worked very well. But one thing that we found over the years is that because of resistance that these worms have built up, they don't all work as well as they used to.
Right. Okay. Do you need to be aware of a herd building up resistance? Do you need to change up the products that you're using?
Well, that's doing some diagnostics, Chip, can be very useful in determining whether or not we need to change up. In some cases, the products will work extremely well year after year after year. But the problem is if we use the same chemical class, the same product year after year after year on the same pasture, on the same cattle, they eventually will increase. They will have resistance.
Right.
And that could be true resistance, or it could be just that those cattle were underdosed. And one thing we find a lot of is, you know, there's not many 1,200 pound cows around anymore, not many 1,100 pound cows anymore, especially in this country. If there's a cow under 1,400 pounds,
right,
that's a rare cow. But a lot of times we'll see that these cattle are still getting dosed at 1,200 pounds.
Right.
So we're underdosing a lot of cattle, especially big, mature cattle. And that can lead to not necessarily resistance, but product failures, and could also lead to resistance because we're killing the weaker worms, but the stronger worms are surviving and developing some resistance against those chemicals.
How do you, on pasture cattle in particular, how do you know that the product that you're using is working and doing the job that it's supposed to do? I mean, you can look at the animals, and if the animals are healthy, you're going to assume that you've got a worming program that's working. But how do you know for sure?
Yeah, that's what we run into a lot. People will use a dewormer, let's say it's a pour on, and the cattle look fine out on pasture, so they just assume it worked. But you think of how these pour ons are applied. A lot of times it's on the weekend when the kids are home and there's not a baseball game or something. The 9-year old is the one that's deworming, and some of it gets on the chute, some of it gets on their pants, and some of it maybe gets on the cow and the calf. So what we do is we do what's called a fecal egg count assessment.
Okay.
And that is taking fecal samples out in the pasture. And they don't have to be directly from an animal. They can just be fresh fecal sample from the pasture, or if they're in a dry lot, from the pen floor. We recommend taking 20 of those random samples from around the pasture, packaging those up, sending them into a parasitology lab. And then in that lab, they'll look at those fecal samples and count the eggs. So the eggs are being shed by the worms in the gut. And then that egg count can give us an idea of, do those cattle need to be dewormed, or if they've already been dewormed, was that dewormer effective?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you get a, if you've got a, on a, if you're on a program and you feel like, hey, this is working because look at the cows out there, they look healthy, and you get the test back on one of these, and it says, no, you've got a problem. Now you're in correction mode, right?
That's right. Yeah. And at that point, then we'd have a consultation with that producer and figure out what they used, how they dosed it, when they dosed it, when the samples were taken, and then make some recommendations from there, whether that is retreating those cattle with the same dewormer or changing classes because perhaps that previous dewormer just wasn't working for them anymore.
Yeah, you're going to have to figure that one out. I mean, if you need to change class and change product out there, that's kind of a big decision for a lot of the guys.
Yeah, it is, especially if they've already spent the money on one dewormer. Now they got to spend the money to do it all over again.
Yep. Spending the money on the product. We're always looking for the return and bringing it back to dollars and cents. But boy, making sure that you've got a deworming program that is effective, it pays, doesn't it?
It does. And what we found is through deworming a cow-calf operation, so deworming prior to turnout to ensure the cows are clean, going out to grass, and then deworming in the summertime to clean up whatever worms they've picked up since they've been turned out on grass will lead to roughly 30 pounds greater weaning weight on those calves in the fall. So that's a big deal, especially now with the market the way it is. And then on top of that, we also see an improvement in preg rate on those cows too. So not only are those cows producing more milk for those calves, which is going to lead to greater weaning weight, but that cow is also maintaining her body condition that can help her get rebred, basically this time of year.
Yeah. And, when you look out at the pasture, your eye goes straight to the cows and because they're out there in the numbers, but we cannot forget about making sure that the bulls are taken care of.
Yeah. We talked about that before. The bulls are highly susceptible. They spend a lot of their time on dry lots in a lot of cases. Bulls just naturally are more susceptible to worms than cows. And, you've got one bull per 25 cows a lot of times. And if that bull isn't doing his job, it can cause a big impact in that herd. So it's important.
Yeah, you want to talk about, differences in dollars and cents, bring a few open cows back.
Yeah, exactly. So, we always talk about breeding soundness exams for bulls, which are critically important, but making sure those bulls are dewormed as well will help the whole operation.
Yeah. What else are you looking to do to make sure that those cows out on pasture are performing as they should?
Well, deworming we often talk about as a cornerstone for everything, for the animal health program, for the nutrition program. So that's the start of it. Beyond that, a proper vaccination program for the cows to make sure we're vaccinating at the right times to allow them to develop antibodies they can pass on to those calves to keep those calves healthy. And winter feeding is I'm a nutritionist, so talk a lot about winter feeding for cows to make sure that when they come off pasture in the fall, that we keep them in good condition, because when they get to that third trimester, it's 75% of the fetal growth is going to happen during that third trimester. And when you think about when that third trimester is, it's typically December, January, February, or January, February, March, the coldest months of the year. So their maintenance requirements are already going up because it's cold, and they're going up because 75% of fetal growth happens at that point. So we want to make sure that when they come off of pasture in the fall, if we need to put condition on those cows, we're going to do it right away. We're not trying to do it when they're a month from calving, because at that point, it's going to be hard to put condition on those cows. They could have difficulty in calving, not produce a whole lot of milk for those calves. And then it can make it more difficult to get those cows rebred in the summertime.
Well, and if you're trying to focus on putting condition on cows in that last try, you're bulking up a calf too.
Yeah. And it's difficult. It's just going to take a lot more feed to get them there. And there could be some negative impacts to that as well, like you said.
Yeah. So, turning all of this into dollars and cents and the return on the investment that we're making, it's so important. And it's so important why growers need to take advantage of days like today, Merck Day here at the Rock Vet Clinic. There's great deals to be had, but there's also conversations to be had just by walking in the door. And here you sit. We've got Dr. Tim Parks coming up next. You guys are here to answer their questions, right?
Yeah, there's three great veterinarians on staff here at Rock Vet. Dr. Parks is here. Anna Haas, our outstanding rep here in Southwest Minnesota, is here. So we're here to help. We're here to answer any questions that people may have.
Yeah. Talk to me real quick about maybe one of the most challenging efforts that you've had to take on with managing the health of a herd out there in the pasture. What's one of the more challenging cases that you've had to deal with?
Well, you know, Dr. Parks and I actually worked on one last fall, which was a case where some cows had lost a lot of condition and couldn't figure out why. And it turned out it was actually a worm issue. And it was an issue where worms, oftentimes what they'll do in the wintertime, or not, I shouldn't say often, but sometimes what they'll do in the wintertime is they'll insist in the gut, which is basically they'll hibernate in the gut. And then when the conditions are right in the spring, they'll all come out at once. And when that happens, it can cause a really severe parasitic or worm infection. Yeah. And we observed that, and that was a rough deal because that producer lost some cows over the deal, and calves were small. And, you know, working through that case, we learned a ton. But it was just, you know, especially with calf prices the way they are right now, is just a really tough one because that producer obviously was not going to have as many calves to sell. Right. So, you know, there's ones like that where we were able to help that producer out, and it's, and it seems like things are better this time around. Yeah. But those are tough ones to see because you just know that that's their livelihood. And
absolutely.
And so you just try to help them out the best you can.
That's right. That's right. Good stuff. We'll talk more this afternoon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jim.
All right. That is Dr. Grant Crawford, a Merck Tech Service nutritionist. We are at Merck Day here at the Rock Vet Clinic, Laverne, Minnesota. We've got a conversation with Dr. Tim Parks. We're going to talk preconditioning calves and why that is important. We'll do that next right here on AgriTalk.
Wisconsin, home to the finest dairy products, is dedicated to building strong local connections with consumers like you. Start your day off right with a legendary June Dairy Month breakfast. With the summer around the corner, we're excited to introduce new recipes for your culinary adventures. Whether it's a barbecue or a picnic, our dairy delights bring joy to families and friends. Here's to a summer brimming with dairy memories. Visit wisconsindairy.com to check out these recipes.
This June Dairy Month salute is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin.
This June, join Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin in celebrating June Dairy Month. Indulge in the rich flavors and creamy goodness of Wisconsin dairy. From farm to table, our dairy farmers work tirelessly to bring you the highest quality milk, cheese, ice cream, and more. Dive into the 13 essential nutrients packed in every serving of Wisconsin milk. Raise a glass and celebrate June Dairy Month with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, because nothing beats the taste of Wisconsin dairy.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
It's the biggest investment you will make in your lifetime, buying a home. I'm Andy Pelkey from Prime Realty of Durand. Buying a home is a major decision and requires careful attention to the details. When you work with a Prime Realty agent, we sit down with you and discuss all the details, from financing, escrow accounts, home inspections, and more. See the professionals at Prime Realty of Durand. We'll discuss how to get your home you want while getting the information you need. Grab the keys to your new home with Prime Realty of Durand. Visit us online at PrimeRealtyMidwest.com.
For summer, so your fight against them shouldn't either. With Safeguard feed formulations, keeping up that fight is easier than ever. Available in blocks, cubes, pellets, or free choice mineral, Safeguard feed formulations are the convenient, labor-saving way to deworm cattle on grass. Simply add it to your current feed and mineral program. No processing, no shoot, no added stress. Remember to consult your veterinarian for assistance in the diagnosis, treatment, and control of parasitism.
Stu Swanson is the Iowa Corn Growers Association First Vice President. He joins us right now. Stu, how has the season been at the intersection of Highway 3 and I-35 there in the middle of Iowa?
Well, 2024 is certainly a different year than we've experienced in the last three. So we started out early in April with some great planting conditions and got some corn in the ground. Things looked great. Short window of about 2 days to do some planting. and then we were rained out, and it hasn't really stopped raining since. So it's been a struggle and a little bit of a frustration in Wright County getting that crop finished up, but come around June 1, most of that is done and the corn has been sprayed, so we're feeling a little better.
Good, good, good. Hopefully that means that some of the growers up in that area are going to be able to get down to the raceway. The race is June 14 through the 16th. What do you hope that the members of Iowa Corn take from race weekend?
Yeah, we have over 1,000 members and growers that are planning to attend, but because of the planting conditions, some of them are still home working, and they'll be cheering along, watching on TV, and we're hoping to showcase the power of ethanol grown from corn right here in Iowa and show how that can also be used on the roads of Iowa and across the country. So we want to share that message of the value of ethanol in terms of environment and performance and cost savings for consumers with people that haven't heard that message, and reinforce that with the positive things that agriculture can do for the entire world.
Yeah, it is a great showcase for ethanol and for Iowa corn, Stu. There's no question about it. Where can listeners go for more information on ICGA, how corn grows Iowa, and the race weekend and the Iowa Corn 350?
Yep, everything can be found on the web by going to www.iowacorn.org.
Fantastic, Stu. Good luck. Have fun at the race. That is Stu Swanson, Iowa Corn Growers Association, first vice president.
We're living in the age of smart. Smart phones, smart cars. Heck, they even got smart refrigerators. And now, there's Smartfoil by Agroxy. Nah, it ain't for your kitchen. It's a biological foliar application for soybean growers. Specifically, the ones that know you gotta protect your beans at flowering if you want yield. Smartfoil reduces environmental stress, like heat and drought when it matters most, giving you better pod count and yield potential. It's the smart thing to do for your soybeans. So ask your retailer about Smartfoil by Agroxy, or visit BigBeanBloom.com to learn more.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. A big thank you to Merck Animal Health and the Rock Vet Clinic here in Laverne, Minnesota, for giving us a really cool spot to sit and talk about some important issues in animal agriculture. And we've been talking a lot about what's going into beef production, and joining us now to continue the conversation, Dr. Tim Parks, a Merck Tech Service veterinarian. Tim, welcome to AgriTalk, man.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. You're out of Kansas, right?
Yep. I practiced in Kansas for about 20 years before I joined Merck, which seems like yesterday, but it was really almost 10 years ago.
No kidding. So
have the opportunity to travel, come to places like Minnesota, and be involved with all different aspects of the beef sector instead of just, you know, which you kind of get locked into in your local area. So
yeah,
great opportunity to meet a lot of neat people.
So. Right. Very good. Very good. We've been talking about adding dollars. I mean, this calf market is absolutely on fire, and we want to put the best product in the sale barn that we possibly can. We want to put the best product out in front of the order buyers as we possibly can. And preconditioning those calves has got something to do with that, doesn't it?
Oh, you bet. You know, preconditioning to me, you know, Dr. Crawford just talked a little bit about deworming, you know, and parasite control being the cornerstone of a lot of our animal health programs, and it and nutrition fit right in with vaccination. And when we start thinking about precondition, everybody wants to jump directly to the vaccination side. But the precondition really is about, let's get these animals ready to make the first move that they're going to make, you know, and so many times in today's markets, they're going to move through auction facilities. Yeah. It may be a brick and mortar facility. It may be a video, but they're going to make these moves. And as we start to make these moves, we're creating a window where we can start to see disease set up in these cattle. So anything that we can do prior to, whether it be vaccination, the nutrition, the deworming programs, all those things, prior to shipment, we're really setting those cattle up to have a lot more success as we start moving them through those next production cycles.
Right. Right. The one thing that we know for sure is they're getting on a trailer.
Yep. They're getting on a trailer. They're going to have an address change.
Yeah.
You know, most of these cattle are.
The amount of stress, you know, if you're putting a sick calf on a trailer, it's going to create additional stress on that animal.
Yep. You put healthy cattle on the trailer and ship them long distances, we can start to see the same issues. So So, you know, when we think about preconditioned programs and what the goal is, let's get them ready for when we do put them on that trailer to where they have the best chance to succeed. Mm-hmm. But that's going to start early. Okay. We're sitting here, grass is green, cattle are out for the most part across the country, but we've had the opportunity, you know, prior to grass turnout to really start setting some of these calves up with vaccination protocols and just stimulating the immune system and getting things started up.
Right.
So we create that at this level, but there's things that we can do as we start to come into, we go through the grass season and we start to think about what are we going to do marketing wise on these cattle that we can start to prepare them to.
Right. Is there a package of vaccinations that are, you know, kind of standard operating procedure on these animals?
Yeah, you bet. You know, when we think about it, we always talk about we got to vaccinate cattle. Well, what are we vaccinating for? Bovine respiratory disease is the biggest thing that we fight in our industry. It's a disease that, you know, as we start to move cattle, we start to stress cattle, we're going to have breaks. And so anything that we can do through our vaccine protocols to help prepare them for that challenge, the better chance we're going to have. So we're thinking about viruses, you know, bovine viral diarrhea, infectious bovine rhinotracheitis, BRSV, all those viruses, but also the bacteria that can really come into play. Mannheimia hemolytica, Pasteurella multocida, Pistophilus somni. Okay. So we want to prepare these animals by exposing them to those bugs through vaccination and getting the immune system to where it can at least recognize them. So when we do have that challenge, they're geared up to better be able to fight it off.
Yep. We were talking with Aaron earlier. About when those calves go through the sale barn, you want them to look good. You want them to have that bloom.
Yep.
Really, preconditioning is putting the bloom on those calves.
Yeah, we're putting feed into them. We're preparing them not just through vaccination. We're preparing them just to be able to handle what's next.
Right. You know,
and that's ultimately what it is.
But the buyer is going to be looking for that.
Yeah, and they see the value in it. You know, when we think preconditioned, we think vaccines, we think the other things. One of the big things around preconditioned programs really comes back to weaning.
Yeah.
You know, most buyers, they like to see a calf that's 45 days weaned. You know, if we can get those calves 45 days weaned, all of a sudden we've started to reduce that stress, that weaning stress. We've done it at a location where these animals are more used to being, and we're able to ride through those stresses a lot easier than if we abruptly put them on a trailer and ship them to the barn.
You know, We kind of marvel at the market that we've got right now, and we talk about the amount of money that's laying there when a calf hits the ground. The temptation might be to just say they're worth great money anyway. Yeah. Let's just run them through the sale barn and let the buyer worry about what's coming next for that calf. But the reality is there's a return to precondition.
That return to precondition. And to your point there, go back to the last couple of years, we saw cattle that were set up to be sold as preconditioned type animals, but through the drought, through the loss of grass and everything else, all of a sudden marketing plans changed. And we saw a lot of stresses in those cattle because they started the setup program, but because of the conditions that we were faced with through the drought, we had to market them at a different time. And all of a sudden we've got cattle that just, we started it, but we didn't finish it, and we saw a lot more disease than what we'd like to see in a lot of those groups.
Yep. You know, it's something that we need to do and make sure that animal is healthy from start to finish, and preconditioning the calves and getting them on that vaccination routine is something that we need to do out there on a regular basis. Tim, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. All right. That is Dr. Tim Parks, a Merck Tech Service veterinarian. Just a reminder, big thank you to Merck Animal Health for making it possible for us to talk about these issues in animal ag and beef production that we've been talking about this week. We really appreciate it. We're at the Rock Vet Clinic in Laverne, Minnesota today. It's 1295 101st Street. If you're in the area, come on by. We've got activities all day long happening here at the Rock Vet Clinic. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Come on back this afternoon. We are going to have more from the Rock Vet Clinic, and we're going to have a conversation with the guys from Professional Ag Marketing, talking markets this afternoon here on AgriTalk.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801.